So, Father, we just thank you for this evening or morning, depending where we're at. And we just praise you and exalt you, and we just thank you for just all the wonderful things you're doing in our lives. And we thank you for this, just taking the blinders off and pulling us out of the apostate's system and giving us a hunger for truth and walking right before you. And we just thank you for just the chastenings you bring us to get our eyes on you and to expose what's in us that is unpleasing to you. And we just thank you for just bring us into perfection and on this narrow path, Lord. And we just praise you, and we thank you for just all that, Lord. We just ask that you just bless tonight. You just guide and direct us tonight, Lord, and that the path of conversation will be led of you. And let us just expose the enemy tonight. Let us bring down the strongholds and remove the stumbling block. And just guide and direct us. And we bind up the enemy from any distractions and any issues as far as in the equipment or in the sound quality. And we just thank you for that. So we just praise you and thank you for this fellowship and everybody that's with us tonight. And just bless them and allow us to be a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and... if anybody needs prayer or wants to pray for somebody, let's go ahead and start off in prayer. Does anybody need prayer or want to pray? All right, we'll just get in some testimonies.
Tim?
Yes.
Yeah, well,
hey, Judy.
I'd like to say another prayer for my daughter, Angie, because
you're kind
she
of fading out on us.
She has a flu, or I don't know what it is, but it's just not leaving, and it's been like a week and a half, and she just doesn't feel any better.
All right, now I can hear you. Just wherever you're at, stay there and talk.
Okay, is that better?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay, I had the speaker on. Sorry. Okay. Well, dear Heavenly Father, I want to lift Angie up to you. She's got this flu bug or whatever Satan's pouring on her, and she just can't shake it, Lord. So I thank you for taking care of this situation and making her feel better and get Satan out of her way. And thank you for keeping him bonded. And Lord, we appreciate you taking care of her as far as her drinking goes. She's been really good on that. So, Lord, thank you for putting a protective hedge around her and keeping your arms around her, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you very much. Amen. Tim? You there?
Where'd you go, Tim? I don't know what happened to him, Judy. I guess he just fell off.
Yeah, must have scared him away.
All right. Well, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? Anybody else got a prayer request? I'll tell you what, I kind of... y'all believe with me, too. In the name of Jesus, I command this crud symptoms in my head to leave. In the name of Jesus, I command the nose to dry up. I command the sneezing to stop. I command the itching in the eyes to stop. In Jesus' name, and I thank you, Father, that I am healed. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that we're not under the curse. Thank you, Lord, that we have power over all the power of the enemy. We have authority over it. And I thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, we did have a wonderful day today. Beautiful day here. All right, anybody got a testimony or a praise report? Anybody got a praise report? Testimony?
Yeah. Yeah, Michael. I have a praise report.
All right, Marlon.
Yeah, I was cutting trees. Can you hear me okay? Is our
sir.
Okay?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, I was cutting trees yesterday. A big tree fell on the fence, and there was I cut that up, and there was another tree that was kind of halfway broke off, and so I was going to cut it down, but it had a branch sticking up into another tree. It was a big branch on the other tree, and when I cut this tree down, I thought, well, it would just slide out of there, and it wouldn't bother nothing, because it was a pretty good-sized branch. It looked pretty solid. But when I cut that tree, that branch up above broke off, and it should have landed on me, but it missed me, and I knew right away that the Lord protected me, and I just praise him for that, because that could have been really bad. It was kind of similar to what happened to, was it Jamie or Jimmy? Only I didn't have nothing fastened to that branch, but it broke off and fell down, and it sure could have hit me. So I just praise the Lord for taking care of me.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ooh, my. Yes, thank you, Lord, for your warrior angel standing around out there with us. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Anybody else got one? Got a testimony or praise report or just would like to say something? Just talk. Talk about Jesus all you want to.
Okay, I can talk.
All right.
I know how to talk. I was getting 911 every time it happened at least once a day for most days. And then finally, one day it was like twice. I got it in the morning and the evening. I go, whoa. So, but it has let up in the last few days. I have not seen it. But I bring it up because I know that David mentioned that. So I haven't seen it now for a couple of days, so I don't know. Maybe we're past something. That's it.
Did you say you had a 911?
No, I said that I would often see 911. Oh, I'm sorry. I would often see 911. I looked at the clock. It was 911.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
it started. The last couple times, during the last couple times, I got it twice a day. Again, one in the morning and the evening, which is really extraordinary. You know, what are the odds? Only I just started to report that.
That's well, all. I'm wondering if the Lord might be telling us there's another false flag coming.
Well, I don't know. I know David mentioned it a couple of times, David Eels. But it has let up in the last 5 days or so, four or five days. So I don't know. I don't know other people getting that.
Oh, yeah, we're getting it.
You still getting it?
Yeah, we're still getting it every now and then. I'll see 911. Other people are seeing it, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Seeing other things as well, too, like 144. I see that quite often. Uh-huh. David sees it quite often. Mm-hmm. Many people see that 144.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, I haven't seen that. No, 911.
All right.
Okay, that's it.
Okay, anybody else?
I seen 144 this morning. That's the time I woke up. And all of a sudden, I thought, what am I waking up for? I looked at the clock. It was 144. Oh, okay. I know why I'm awake.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
I always see 111.
Okay, that's good.
I know. Yeah, because I'm always saying, oh, I can't wait till you come, Lord. You know, I'm always wanting the Lord to come. I'm like, come quick, Lord. And then he's been doing this now. The 111 for probably over a year. I love it. When I look at it, I even smile. I say, oh, Lord, thank you. It's like he just gave that to me. So I just think that's cool.
All right. What does 111 mean, Barbara?
It means the Lord's coming. And so I take it as the Lord's coming into man-child, right?
Come on. Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
All right. Anybody
else?
Right? Yeah, I think so. Let me look here right quick, but I think you're right.
I'm always saying, Lord, come quickly, come, Lord.
All right. Praise God.
I think I always hear David teaching about, he teaches about the man-child coming, you know, the anointing of the man-child here soon.
Yep.
But I've been seeing 111, though, for like over a year or so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, to me, it's like a little thing me and God have. Like, you know, it's just like a sweet thing.
Okay.
I take it as such a, thank you, Lord. You know, that's
praise
all.
Praise God.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
By the way, before I forget it, we said to tell everybody hello a while ago. So, hello.
What's that?
David said to tell everybody hello on the conference call, so I'm telling everybody hello from David.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah.
I said hello, too.
Okay.
All right, Michael, can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, now I can hear you.
Did I just drop out?
You dropped out for about 5 minutes.
Okay. So what was the last thing I said?
See ya? No. I don't remember, but Judy was talking and you never did come back to her, so.
Oh, okay. Interesting. I started to share a testimony. Did any of that come out?
Didn't hear a thing about a testimony. We heard, did you hear anybody on your end?
No. All of a sudden, I was just sharing a testimony, and all of a sudden you text me, so.
Yeah. Judy gave her what she had been seeing. Barbara gave it was Gail, I mean, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then Barbara gave what she saw. She's been seeing 111. Gail's been seeing 911. And David's been seeing 144 as well as I. And, of course, I've seen 911 too. And that's what we've been talking about, is all.
Okay. All right. Well, that's fine. Anyways, I was going to share testimony. I had a brother call me this morning early. And it was real early in the morning, and he was kind of having a meltdown, and he just needed some prayer. And he works at a local school in the athletic department, and basically what had happened was they had started up a soccer program in the beginning of the year. Right before the season started, somebody went to donuts on the soccer field, and then what happened was that this morning, you know, he got a call from somebody, and the same thing happened, but we've had a lot of rain, and the field was just tore up. I mean, it was just, you know, before it just kind of took the grass off because it was dry. This time it just, you know, just demolished the whole field. And so he was just, you know, just needed prayer. He was just fighting anger and that, and just needed somebody to pray with. And so we prayed, and, you know, just an awesome prayer, and you know, we got done praying, and, you know, that heaviness or that anger broke off of him. So I told him that I would meet him for lunch today and see how he's doing. So I walked into the, you know, the dining room, and he was there, and he's sitting there, and he was actually sitting with the soccer coach, and they're both gleaming, you know, big smiles on their face. And I sit down, I say, "How you doing?" He says, "Man, I'm doing great." He says, "We caught the guy that tore up the field." I said, "You got to be kidding me. How'd you do that?" And the soccer coach, when he was in high school, one of his students in his class failed a test and got upset and crumbled up the test and, you know, and just put it in his pocket. And that night went out and rolled the teacher's house with, you know, toilet paper. And what happened was when he was rolling the house, the test fell out of his pocket and was laying in the teacher's front yard, so she knew who did it. So he was busted. And he remembered that story, and he decided to go walk the soccer field. And apparently he found something. You know, they were kind of keeping it hush-hush because they were still, you know, working through this thing, but something had fallen off the truck that, you know, this person that did it. And I'm going to mute Barbara there. So what happened was they ended up going and finding the truck, and it turned out to be one of the students, and it still had the mud on it, stuff like that. And they called this student into the office, and he pulled this item out and says, "Hey, is this yours?" And he says, "Oh yeah, that's mine." And he grabbed it, and it just, you know, then they told him where they found it, and, you know, he had a best friend, and they kind of, you know, sequestered him in the sides, you know, "What were you doing on the soccer field last night?" And the whole thing, I mean, the whole thing just opened up, and it was just a total answer to prayer, as far as knowing, you know, who's been doing this and stuff like that. So, it was awesome how, you know, he just, you know, he came for prayer. He was fighting it, couldn't break through. He called, we broke through. And then, you know, then the Lord, you know, took care of the situation and exposed the person that's been doing it. And, you know, it was kind of a neat answer to prayer. So I thought that would be pretty cool to share. So, all right, anybody else have a testimony or anything they'd like to share? Linda, I'm going to mute you. Hey, Gail.
Hi. This is just a little incident. A few years ago, a truck was seen going through my garden late at night, and the next day I went to get my watermelons. They were just ready. Well, they were gone, okay? Well, in the garden, we found a slip of paper with the guy's name on that took the watermelons. He had dropped something. It was a receipt or something. It was a few years ago. I can't remember. But it's an interesting same kind of thing, you know, like, I mean, of all things, he dropped his bill or something with his name and stuff on it, you know. So we're not supposed to be getting away with a little stuff like that, you know, get caught.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Anyway, but he still stole my watermelons. I never got them back. End of story.
But he got exposed, you know, which is kind of neat. So, yeah, I've seen stories like that where, you know, shoplifters go in and shoplift a pair of, you know, new pair of jeans and left his wallet and his old jeans hanging in the dressing room or something like that, you know. So
Hey, I had a guy steal a farm tractor of mine 1 year and took it for a little good joy ride. Well, what happened was he had a wreck with it, and they took him to jail, and he spent quite a while in jail over it.
So I, you know, you can see, you know, I'm sure God was working in those times, you know, to get these people's attention or whatever they needed to do. So if he needs to expose the situation, he's definitely gonna expose the situation. So, all right, anybody else have something like to share?
Pam?
Hey, Gainold.
I had you pray for my step-niece's dad last week, and I just was wanting to let you know that our prayers were answered. And he had meningitis and was in ICU, and they thought he'd have to be in the hospital quite a while and then that he would have to go on to a nursing home. Well, he wasn't in the hospital really very long, and he only had to be in the nursing home for just a couple days, and he is already in his own home. And so that is really a blessing for this family, and I just wanted to let you know that the Lord heard our prayers. And just thank Him for that. So that was all I wanted to share.
Yeah, that is so awesome. Just
because they just really didn't expect him to get home, you know, for a few weeks yet, and he's already home. So that's great. Okay, thank you.
Oh, well, we need to thank Father. Father, we just thank you. You are awesome, and you're an awesome Father. We just praise you, and we just being able to just touch others and show the power of prayer and to edify you, Lord. And we praise you and thank you for that. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I love the, you know, the answer prayer testimonies and situations like that. It's great. So, anybody else have a testimony? Actually, I just thought of another one. I was I went to Lowe's, and I went with another brother. He's kind of a younger believer, and so he had to pick a few things up. He was working on a project, so I just went with him, and we're standing there. I'd asked one of the sales associates a question, and he didn't know, and he went to find out. And all of a sudden, this lady comes walking up to me with these two drill bits, asking me which drill bit she should use. And so I asked her, I said, well, what are you doing with the drill bits? And she said, well, I've got somebody that's breaking into my place, and I'm putting some big hasps on the front door, and I'm drilling through the wall, and I'm, you know, bolting them with lag bolts and all this stuff. And she was like a older, you know, lady, but she knew exactly what she was doing, but she didn't know what drill bit would be the best one to use. So I told her what to do, and I made some suggestions as far as what she might do and that. And then all of a sudden I looked down, and on her hat, she had this like velvet cross, and there was like little plastic things on there that said, you know, faith and prayer and stuff like that. And I saw that, and because she was saying, I don't know what else to do, and he broke into my garage and all this. And I said, you know what? I said, I've got an idea. I said, why don't we pray? And she just kind of lit up, and she was like, yeah. She said, you know what? I had a neighbor on one side, and he kept coming into my yard. I just started praying and asking the Lord to keep this guy out of my yard. And she said, we had a rainstorm, and the water washed right down the property line and made this divot or gully, you know, right down there. And I knew it was the Lord that did that. And then she said, we had another guy move in down the street that was a thief, she was saying some other things, but they knew he was just bad news. And so she just started asking the Lord, you know, to, you know, praying, you know, protection, and asked the Lord, you know, to, you know, keep that guy at bay. And when these tornadoes came through here, she said his roof was ripped off his house. And she said it was the only person in the neighborhood that had damage like that. And he ended up having to move out of the house. So I kind of reminded her of prayer. And then what happened was, is this sales associate came back and answered my question. And when I turned back around, she'd gone, you know. So I never really got to pray with her, but I was able to plant that seed of prayer instead of, turn it over to the Lord and, you know, let him convict them and that. It was kind of neat. So I ended up, when I left there, we got in my truck, and, you know, we're going to be heading back. And the next thing I look, and there's this guy, you know, coming up to my window, and he was, he basically was asking me for some money for food, you know, to get something to eat. And sometimes in those situations, I need to pray and just kind of see, because I don't know. Sometimes I feel real comfortable. Other times I really don't. I just, you know, feel I'm being conned or whatever it was. But I looked in this guy's eyes, and I could tell he was real nervous. I could just see that there was some humility there. And I said, yeah, I'll give you something. And I was getting out my wallet, and he started to say that he was in a car accident, and he starts rolling up his pant leg, and he shows me his leg, and his leg was just, I mean, it was healed up. I mean, the skin was healed up and that, but his leg was just totally mutilated. And I ended up, you know, so I said, no, it's, you know, it's all right. And so I gave him some money, and I asked him, I said, can I pray for you? Because during the test, while he was telling me about the car wreck, then he started professing Christ. And he said, Jesus is the one that saved me out of this car wreck. And if it wasn't for the Lord, I wouldn't be here today. And I mean, he was given the Lord glory. And one of the concerns I had is I thought I smelled alcohol on his breath. And but I realize I really can't judge in a situation there. This guy's professing Christ, and you know, he was asking me for money for some food, and so I said, you know what? I said, can I pray for you? And this guy almost dove through my window. I mean, he just bowed his head and stuck his arms right inside the window and just, you know, had his head down. And this guy wanted prayer. And it was so awesome. And I ended up, you know, praying for him and just asking the Lord to deliver him from his, you know, bondages. And you know, it was just an awesome prayer. But this guy almost, I mean, it was like he was crawling in my truck to get prayer. And it was really neat. And when I got done praying, he lifted up his head and he was just lit up. He had this big old smile on his face, and I mean, he just, it was just really neat. But I just really saw it where when I rolled down my window, I thought I smelled alcohol, and I was like, you know, but I looked into his eyes, and I really felt that there, you know, there was something there, and I didn't judge him, and I just, you know, and then the next thing I know, I told him I would, you know, help him out, and then he's professing Christ, and then he wants prayer, and it was just, it really turned out to be just an awesome thing. So we just, you know, I was just seeing where we just can't judge in the flesh. We just got to be, we got to go by the Spirit and be led of the Lord. And so I had two awesome encounters, you know, just running to Lowe's. So it was kind of neat. So thought I'd share that. All right, anybody else have a testimony or anything they like? Or maybe something that's on your heart, something you've been in the Word, something the Lord's been showing you. You guys are awfully quiet tonight. I got one other testimony I just thought of. And this was at our Saturday pot blessing. One of the people in the, you know, one of the guys in the fellowship, brothers in the fellowship, his mom came in, and it was kind of neat because she came in for the holiday, I think for Thanksgiving, and then her car ended up breaking, you know, something in her car, and she ended up staying for, I don't know what it was, maybe a week or so. And I really believe that was the Lord, you know, just, you know, in the situation. So, you know, I think originally she wasn't going to come to the pot blessing, but she ended up coming there. And she asked if she could get up and just share a song. And she, you know, she just was just praising the Lord. And it was pretty awesome. And then after the song, she asked if she could share a testimony. And what she shared was that she had, I don't know what the time frame was or that, but she had ended up injuring something, her back or something. I don't know what it was, but she had to take a leave of absence from work. And she had a pretty nice desk job and did research and a lot of different things. And when she was well enough to go back to work, she ended up, she went into work and they told her that she no longer had a job. And that pretty much, you know, did devastate her, but she saw the Lord in it. And she ended up working at Walmart and it was just, you know, it was strenuous work and, you know, stocking shelves and stuff like that. And her son, you know, brought up his mom in some of our, you know, our prayer time and says, "Hey, I just want to pray for my mom." And you know, I remember praying for her a couple times, but, you know, we would pray. Because, you know, the work was strenuous. She was used to sitting at a desk or whatever it was. And, you know, and she's older than that. So we would pray. And the next thing you know, she got a job at, you know, another grocery chain, you know, type thing. And you know, we prayed through a couple situations, but he kept praying for his mom. And just every time, you know, was on his heart, you know, he would pray that, you know, and this new job didn't turn out to be much better than the old job. And so he kept praying for his mom. What happened was, she was at work one day, and somebody she used to work with, I don't know, was in the first desk job or whatever it was, came in and saw her working, said, "What are you doing working here?" And she said that, she said, "Well, this is just where I'm working." And this lady got on the phone right there, called one of her supervisors and said, "That person that we're looking for, that, you know, this some position, I got the perfect person," gave her name, said, "You need to hire her." Long story short, she ends up going in and getting the job, and now she's back into a desk job. And so, you know, that came about, and, you know, she's had some other issues in the family and a few things that, you know, she kind of shared. And so one day she runs up to one of the stores, Walmart or whatever it was, to go, you know, pick something up. And apparently they've got two sets of doors, and after a certain time they lock one set and you have to go to the other side. And, you know, she went to the side that was locked, so she goes up there, the lights are on the store, the women, you know, are at the cash registers, but the doors are locked. And she saw a young man with a hoodie, you know, sitting on a wall there, and next thing you know, he got off the wall, came up to her, and stuck a gun in her stomach and said, "Give me your purse." She said all she had in her purse at that time was $10. And that was all the money she had to her name. And, you know, she's thinking, "Satan, you stole from me so much, and I don't want you to steal from me anymore." So she just called out to the Lord and said, "Lord, I don't know what to do right now." And she said that the Lord told her, "Just open your mouth and I'll give you what to say." And she said that she opened up her mouth, and what came out was, "In the name of Jesus, I bind you, Satan." And she said she looked into this guy's eyes, and he told her if he didn't give her a purse, he was going to shoot her. And she said she looked into this guy's eyes, and there was just emptiness there. There was nothing there, absolutely nothing. She could see nothing in his eyes. It was just darkness and emptiness. And after she said that, the guy just stared at her, and then what came out of his mouth is, "In the name of Jesus, I'm going to let you go." And he turned around and walked off. And it was just, I mean, she was just touched. She was in a situation that she didn't know what to do. And, you know, she cried out to the Lord. The Lord told her, "Just open your mouth and, you know, I'm going to take care of it." And the Lord took care of it. And it just blessed me. It was just an awesome, awesome testimony of, you know, God's provision and God's protection. And it was kind of neat. So we got to just keep, you know, praying for our loved ones. And, you know, God's working in us all. And, you know, this, you know, through this whole trial with his mom. I mean, they've grown closer, and it's just kind of neat to see God working in situations like that. So we just got to keep praying for them, the ones we love. So, amen. All right, who else has got something to share? Got a quiet crowd tonight.
I have a testimony.
Awesome.
It was yesterday. I was driving home from Boise, and while I was on the interstate, I just got this strong feeling to text a friend of mine, so I voice texted her, which I just don't do unless I have to. But I texted her and asked her if she needed prayer for anything. And this particular friend, I only talked to probably once every 3 or 4 months. And she immediately called me back and said that she had an urgent prayer request. And so I prayed for her, and she said that it was just an answer to a prayer, and that my texting her at that time was just a godsend, and she was just really grateful, and we just praised the Lord for that.
Amen. That's awesome. Yeah, the Lord has really worked on me that whenever He puts somebody on my heart, I just need to pray for them. And if I don't know what to pray, just pray in the Spirit. It's kind of neat. So just when somebody's heavy on my heart, I'll just start praying for them. But that's being obedient. You know, you just know something's up, and you just call to see if they need prayer, and God just worked through that. It was just that's walking in the Spirit. That's where He wants us all to be. So I think that's an awesome testimony.
Amen.
All right, anybody else? I did see, this was on, I don't watch a lot of news, but, I kind of hear the rufflings of, you know, what's going on in California, and then, I do enjoy Michael Bodea, and I went onto his site today, and he had a little letter here. And he called it The Sick and Twisted. It says, anyone who didn't see this coming wasn't looking hard enough. In fact, they likely were not looking at all because they were too busy trying to promote gender fluidity and interspecies amour or some other freakish thing that is a little as a decade ago would have rightly been called ill. The bubble has bursted. We can no longer say it cannot happen here. We can no longer say it will never occur on our own soil. Because whether you like it or not, the fact of the matter is that a husband and wife pair of Islamic adherents snatched the souls of some 14 individuals without a second's worth of thought or hesitation. As I said, this was no surprise. It was bound to happen. More is on the way. And 13 will seem like a paltry number compared to the plans and aspirations some of these people have. Just because we bear them no ill will, it does not mean they reciprocate is in kind. And this is one of those uncomfortable truths we as a nation must get our minds around. Individuals such as the couple making headlines recently did not come to America to assimilate. They did not come for a better life, and they did not come for a better future for their children. For such individuals, there is no other purpose, there is no other aspiration, There is no other goal towards which to strive than to destroy the perceived enemies of Islam. Wash the world in blood and make it ready for the coming of the Mahdi. Throughout all this unfolding, the most sick and twisted thing of all is not the fact that these two individuals chose to shoot up a social service center largely made up of people with disabilities. The most sick and twisted thing of all is the narrative that is being spun in the wake of the tragedy. Only in the land of Oz that this nation has become can you blame the victims and not be dragged into the streets, tarred, feathered, and shunned from everyday society. Only in the land of Oz this nation has become can someone attempt to find justification for two people going on a killing spree and indiscriminately ending lives. There are actually so-called reporters doing their utmost to try and equate a man who was a messianic Jew and was subsequently killed in the attack with the attackers themselves, broad brushing them with the same brush, pretty much calling them two sides of the same coin. All this because one of the men who died in the attack was a Christian, and Christians are by the very nature offensive, and as such, they instigate the attack by their very being. Have we truly gone mad? Is the most human thing that can happen to us at this point for someone to put us out of our misery? He goes on and says, more and more I am left speechless by the utter stupidity of some people. If someone is walking home from the grocery store and gets hit by a car while they're on the sidewalk, do you blame them for being there at that particular moment or for choosing that particular sidewalk to walk down? Perhaps they were wearing a color offensive to the driver. Perhaps they didn't wave back when the driver waved at them from inside the car. How do you justify one individually killing another with premeditation, never mind 14 individuals and counting? Although, I've said it before, just in case the nosebleed section didn't get it, there is no moral equivalency between Christianity and Islam. There is no moral equivalency between the Christian man who was gunned down by the rabid zealots and the rabid zealots themselves. No matter how you slice it and how much you spin gets on it, there is a marked difference between thou shalt not kill and kill the infidel. Is the hatred for Christ and Christianity so blinding that people are willing to give mass murderers a pass just so they could condemn believers? In the hatred for Christ and Christianity, so all-consuming that men are willing to align themselves with death cult just so they could get the upper hand. While I'm at it, I think this would be an opportune time to call to account every sniveling, spineless, some other long word, wishy-washy preacher who has been promoting Chrislam and hold their feet to the fire. Sorry, kids, one of these things is not like the other, and if we don't embrace this reality, it will be our own undoing. With love in Christ, Michael Boldia, Jr. So I thought that was kind of a pretty bold statement as far as I haven't seen a lot of the news, but I mean, you know, his take on how things are being, you know, spun and, you know, everything going on and stuff like that. And, you know, we know a lot of this, you know, is, I heard some other brothers talking about, you know, the, you know, what happened over in Paris, and Obama went over there, and, you know, all he talked about is the need for gun control in America when he went over there to mourn, you know, what happened in Paris, and they actually have gun control. And he did, you know, basically the same thing here. And, you know, it turns out that, you know, this was a gun-free zone that, you know, that all this went down on. So they're, you know, trying to use this to, you know, take away the guns and gain more control and that. But, you know, I also ran across, and this was a excerpt out of David Wilkerson, and it's, you know, it was talking about a nation under judgment. It says, "Foreigners will be put above thee." And he says, when a nation is under judgment, Deuteronomy 28 spells out how we can tell. We read of multiple examples in the early chapters of Exodus as Pharaoh that opposed Jehovah came under judgment for his defiance against God's will. Because of Pharaoh, food sources were destroyed. Egypt was littered with dead and dying livestock and animals. Homes and public buildings were destroyed or heavily damaged because that's what judgment does. They destroy and dismantle a nation's infrastructure and the economy. You know, basically this is just an excerpt of, you know, one of his books, but he said that, you know, what he talked about is foreigners, immigrants, come in and are given precedence over and at the expense of the nation's own citizens. And he pointed out Deuteronomy 28 and 43, and it says, "The stranger that is with thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low." And there was a whole list of headlines and excerpts out of articles. Basically, you know, just the headlines of articles, what is going on. And, you know, one of the articles was, you know, Obama states you don't have power to stop refugees. And another article was talking about Obama, you know, not willing to fight ISIS, but, you know, wants to go, you know, toe-to-toe for anybody that, you know, wants to stop refugees from coming into the country. And there was another article that was talking about since the attacks in Paris, 132 Syrian refugees were allowed into the United States, and out of those 132 of them were male Sunni Muslims. And the article was talking about where over 80% of the Muslims that are coming into the country are males of, you know, in their, you know, you know, young to, you know, to middle-aged males that are coming in. It's just an overwhelming amount. And it said that in 2016, we were stated to bring in 85,000, and in 2017, over 100,000 is what Kerry, you know, has said. So, you know, there's just a bunch of Another article was saying, you know, there was 123,000 Iraqis, refugees that came in, and 90% of them are on welfare. You know, so they're bringing, you know, 123,000, and, you know, they're basically signing them all up for welfare. And the new Obama guidelines is the welcome guides for these refugees are being printed in, you know, 14 different languages, and it's in their guidelines for signing up for welfare, you know, as far as that. So it's just talking about how, you know, we're, you know, they're just bringing in hundreds of thousands of these, you know, refugees into the country. And another article was there's a in Hamtramck City Council in Michigan, the first time in 239 years of this American nation that the city council that is elected is majority Muslims. And, you know, it's slowly turning from, you know, the infrastructure as far as that. So, and there's a bunch more. It's just, you know, talking about the ISIS radicals that are in the United States, and TSA investigations found 73 workers that were working for the TSA were on the terrorist watch list, and it just goes on and on and on. So 150 passengers from a flight from Mexico were able to bypass customs and just walk right through JFK Airport. And, you know, just another was that, you know, this came from, it said that the I haven't seen this, but they're basically ruling people disabled because they don't speak English and allowing them to sign up for disability and get disability because they can't speak English, you know, in America. So it just keeps, like Michael say, you know, it's sick and twisted, and it keeps getting more sick and more twisted. And that's really, you know, when evil's called good and good is evil, and that's really where things seem to, you know, seems to be pointing. And that's why we just got to keep our eyes on the Lord and just stay meek and humble, as Michael Montana talked about last week, and just stay right before the Lord and just allow Him to guide us and direct us in these times, because it's going to get darker. So I thought those were some interesting things that are going on. So, and then I heard Obama. Yeah, the other thing I heard, Obama cancel Christmas. So that's another thing I've heard people talking about. You know, so it's I think he's proclaiming his Muslim faith there or something. You know, I don't know. So I don't think he's coming to the truth about Christmas, but you know, we'll see. Who's going to say something?
Yeah. I was reading today that there were only a handful of Christians that are allowed, you know, to join the refugees, so-called refugees. They'd like them to stay there and get massacred by the ISIS that are left there, I guess. Christians don't need any help from us, I guess, in Syria.
Okay. Well, they need our prayer.
Yes.
As far as that.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, no, this is just a well, you know, thought out plan, and it's you know, we don't know the fullness behind it, but we just got to know that God is sovereign, He's in control, and He used the Assyrians to you know, get God's people's attention, and He can use the Muslims, He can use, you know, he's you know, he's going to bring a chastening, you know, to this, you know, to this world. So
there's something that struck me this week. The Liberty University, you know, in Virginia. You know what I'm talking about? It's a big. It's Jerry Falwell's university.
Yeah.
Anyway, the president there addressed the student body and encouraged them to all get carry permits and to take gun training. And I thought that really was very clear to me that, you know, Christianity is not about defending yourself in that way. I mean, it was that how far they were. How little they understand of what they're about as Christians, you know? And that this is a time to strengthen your faith, you know, and not to buy a gun. Anyway, it was really clear to me, like, where we all need to stand, you know, that our faith is so important now to pay attention to, strengthen it.
Yeah, it's, how do you believe God's your deliverer if you're, out, you know, building up your arsenal as far as that, and you know, live by the sword, die by the sword.
How do you love your enemy by shooting them?
That's
it. How do you turn your cheek by shooting the enemy? That's just craziness. But you know, here's the bright side of it. There's a revival coming because of all of this. There's a great revival coming because of all of it, praise God. And all the ones that we've been praying for, they coming in. So they shook up, praise God. That's the great part about it. God's doing this for one thing, to get his people's eyes on him and to have this great revival. God has his man in office as president right now. That's God's man for the hour, Barack Hussein Obama. And he's going to have judgment come upon this land. But at the same time, his grace and his mercy is going to flow out like it never has before. And when that shaking starts, it ain't going to stop until every one of his people comes into that door. And praise God, we've been praying for a lot of people. And there's going to be a lot of people coming in. Amen. Just thought I'd share that.
No, that's good. I think that it's I don't know who said it, but as far as putting the fear of the Lord in you, you just the church doesn't have the fear, and there's just such a wishy-washy gospel out there, and you know, there's no sanctification. There's no holiness. There's just a very lukewarm, step over the line type gospel, and it's all milk. There's no meat, and most of it's all twisted. But in all that, there's people there that love the Lord. You know, they're all deceived. And being deceived and deceiving. So, and the deceived don't know they're deceived. A lot of the pastors and that are, you know, following men and traditions of men and man's teachings and knowing that you know, a greasy grace and a once saved, always saved gospel fills the pews and tickle their ears. They're just going to fly away and don't, you know, you get sanctified when you get to heaven and you know, they just, a lot of deception out there. So, but the neat thing is the Lord has been opening our eyes and giving us a hunger for truth and a hunger for the Word and been in the Word, studying the Word, and it's and we're seeing. I mean, he's opening our eyes. But the ones that want to run after their lusts, run after the false Jesuses and the Balaam, you know, preaching and the a different doctrine that feeds their flesh. You know, he's basically giving them over to their lusts. And he's blinded them to truth and given what they want. So, but he's going to get their attention. So, we just got to keep praying for our loved ones and pray for the people that the Lord puts on our heart. So, all right, anybody else have anything on their heart?
Hey, Jim.
Michael Montana, how you doing?
Yeah, I just want to share something that I have to maybe bring a little different perspective in some of this. I have myself dealt with the temptation, and I say the temptation, you know, you look at what's going on in the natural world, and got to be very careful with it, because it says in the scripture that when the children of Israel came to Kadesh Barnea, the 10 spies came back with a report of what they saw. And they came back and said, these guys got iron chariots, they got walled cities, and the height of their stature so great, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. And then they looked at their own stature and they said, and we're not able to overcome them. And I have mentioned this before, but you know, when Caleb was later dealing with coming into the promised land after that first generation didn't make it, he said to Joshua, that mountain over there, God's given it to me. When I was here the first time, he was spying out the land. He wasn't looking at the giants. He found the land that he wanted. He picked his inheritance out and said, the Lord promised me that mountain when I was here before. And here he is at 85 years old. And Joshua says, well, it's yours then. He says, you want some help? He said, don't need it. Thank you. In so many words, he went up and took that land. It was where they had the iron chariots, the very guys that were great in stature and had the iron chariots, and Caleb took it. And I really think it's critical in this hour. You know, we've got to be very careful that, you know, I mentioned this before one time, that I was looking at alternative media, and I've learned to be very cautious about that. But when you're looking at the alternative media, I came back and the Lord said, well, now that you've examined the giants that are in the land, and I was rebuked by the Lord, basically, because I came away and I had fear in my heart. And I can look at what all these dudes are doing, but we have to be brought to remembrance that the true men of God in terrible times, have the dark times was where the great heroes of the scripture came out of the darkest, most greatest obstacles men ever faced. And it ended up that Haman hung on his own gallows, and the men that built the fire for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego died doing it. And the men that accused Daniel were eaten by the lions that wouldn't eat Daniel. And, you know, when I read the book of Revelation, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, not the revelation of the devil, not the revelation of what the enemy's going to do, because it says, and when he had opened, he opened one of the seals, the Lord Jesus did, and then four horses came out. And these were horses of destruction, but it was Jesus that opened the seal, that loosed these judgments upon the earth. And all of it, it's desperately important. And my greatest cry, I have to say it again, my greatest cry right now is to see things from his perspective. That's the thing I pray for continually. I say, Father, I don't want to see things with my natural eyes. If I see them with my natural eyes, I will be deluded. I will be out of perspective. Fear has place in my heart if I look with natural eyes. If I think with my carnal mind, if I look with my natural eyes, I will not be an overcomer. But if I can learn to see things by the Spirit and see what the Lord, you know, you look at Hezekiah, and he laid the letter before the Lord that Sennacherib had laid upon him, that he was going to come and take this land. Don't think your God's going to deliver you. Has the gods of all these other nations done any good for them? I've taken them, and your God's no better. And he just laid it before the Lord, humbled himself, and they fasted, and they humbled himself before the Lord. And the Lord, one angel goes out and smites 185,000. And when Jonathan and his armor bearer, he says, let's go show ourselves to these uncircumcised. And it says at that time that there was like the sand of the seashore in multitude. The sand of the seashore in multitude. They had iron, they had horsemen and all of this by the bunches. And he goes with his armor bearer and said, you know, let's go show ourselves to these uncircumcised, because there's no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And he walks out, steps out of the rocks, and they go, hey, look, the Hebrews are coming out of the rock. Come here, we'll show you a thing. He turns to his armor bearer and says, come. The Lord has delivered them in our hands. That was the sign he was looking for. He walks out and starts hacking into these guys. And the first 20 guys, it took a half acre of land for him to take the 20 guys out. And then the Lord came on the scene. And there's something about when we have to see things from God's perspective, because God without man is a majority by himself. God with one man is a majority. God with two men is a majority. All we need to do is find out what he's doing in this hour, and it's critical that we don't look with natural eyes or we will not make it. I'm here to tell you, if you look at things with your natural eyes, you'll join the crowd. It says in Luke 21, men's hearts failing them for fear, just looking at the things coming on the face of the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. You look at that red horse rider that goes forth, he says, and he says, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and to him was given a great sword. That's take peace from the whole earth. And the Lord Jesus opened the seal and let him loose. This is God's up to something in all of this, and it's very critical that we don't get our information from the media, whether it's the alternative media or Fox News or anything else, that we get our information from what the Holy Ghost is saying, because God has a plan right now, and it's critical that we enter into it by faith. Whatever is not of faith is sin. And in this dark hour, we have really got to discipline our hearts, our minds, our thought life, our words, to speak those things according to the word of God. It says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. That we've got to speak the things that the word of God says, because around us, you know, you look at the madness of what's going on. It's you can't, you know, I've often said this, that on a natural level, you could pick any phone book, any town in the city, in the United States, and just open it up and start putting your finger down, president, vice president, secretary of state, and you'd come up with more integrity and more capability. But God is not interested in that right now. He's bringing judgment, and he's allowing these wicked vessels of wrath. These are chosen vessels of wrath that are going to minister the judgments against the church of God and against the heathen. And we just have to be in the covenant. You know, I've heard people say, I claim Psalm 91. And I said, I don't think you can claim it. You've got to walk it. Psalm 91 is a covenant, abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. And it's not a theological position. It's a walk. And God's calling us right now to enter into that place. And there's such a thing where, just like Jesus in the bottom of the boat, it looks like we're perishing, and the Son of God's asleep in the boat. Anybody that thinks the boat's going to sink with the Son of God asleep in it is misdirected. And the Lord Jesus Christ is, it says, when the heathen rage and the kingdoms are moved, when all the nations and the kings of the earth gather themselves together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. It says, he that sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord will have them in derision. He will speak to them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. God is in control. And, you know, the thing that's emphasized again and again in Psalm 46, he goes, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. It's critical right now, brethren, that we come into that place of faith and a place of rest. And it's not a theological position. It's not by knowing all the right Bible verses. It's by that abiding place where you have the rest that you've labored. It says labor to enter into the rest. And I mentioned it before, there's a rest of ignorance and a rest of faith. But the rest of faith is contested ground. And it's not something you slide on into. It's something that we enter into with earnest prayer, with surrender, with a place where the word becomes comes from our head and drops about 18 inches down to our heart and becomes real to us, where that logos becomes rhema in us, and we have something to stand on that's deeper, the faith of Christ mixed with the word, and then it will bring forth, because it says the word didn't profit them not being mixed with faith and them that heard it. If we have the word but don't have the faith of Christ mixed with it, we have an inheritance. But brethren, the children of Israel had an inheritance too, and none of them possessed it. That first generation, everyone 20 years old and up died. They had the same promise. You're going to inhabit houses you didn't build. You're going to drink a vineyard you didn't plant. You're going to have a good land that flows with milk and honey. Instead, they all died in the wilderness. And with all of us, the ground that we are supposed to have, our promised land, it's contested ground. You want your inheritance, go get them and drive out the Canaanites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Drive them out. It's yours. And we have giants in our own land, and each one of us is going to have to drive them out if we want to possess the land that God's given us, because the land of promise is not a type of heaven, because there's no enemies in heaven. It's a type of entering into our inheritance in Jesus Christ, where the enemy of God flees before the face of the people of God, where we could look down the barrel of a UN tank and say with the Lord Jesus Christ, you have no power whatsoever against me, unless it's given of my Father in heaven. We need to be in that place where the faith of God is so bristled in our spirit. We are alive with the faith of God. Living rivers of living water flowing through us, not a trickle or a little mud hole here and there. But brethren, God wants to bring us to a good land. But it's contested ground and it's full of giants. And if we want that land, we've got to drive them out and take our inheritance in Jesus Christ, where we can find the rest of Christ. Because he that's entered into God's rest has ceased from his own works as God did from his. And God wants to bring us to that place where we're unmoved by what circumstances are saying. We're unmoved when the nations are roaring, when the waves in the sea, when Nibiru is going around and the earth is reeling to and fro like a drunken man. We need to be rejoicing and praising God with all of our heart, be unmoved by what people are doing. He says, he says, we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what men shall do to me, because he says the Lord will never leave us or forsake us. And we have that promise of God. And right now, it's a time when this is a separation time. It's going to separate in us and separate from the body of Christ, the tares from the wheat. And the wheat are going to be those that enter into Christ, enter into the faith of Christ, and that walk in victory. Overcomers are those that see things from God's perspective in this hour. And I think it's absolutely critical. It's the thing I pray for more than anything else. I plead with God to be able to see things from his perspective, to be able to see the things the way he sees them, to see perspective, because my own perspective, it doesn't take me very long to get all stirred up in my natural man and become meaner than heck. You know, it's not the Lord's way. And I need to see things from God's perspective, because God is not intimidated by what men can do. It says in Psalm 104, he takes away their breath, they return to the dust. God can speak, Mr. Soros, Mr. Rockefeller, the nations are the dust of the balance, insignificant. He does according to his own will in the armies of heaven and among the sons of men. No man can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? And God has, he is Alpha, is the Omega. And I think he's doing the same thing he did with Pharaoh. He said, for this same purpose, I have raised thee up. He said, the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, this is in Romans 9, for this same purpose I've raised thee up, to show my power in thee, and that I might declare my name throughout the earth. He raised up this very vessel, hardened his heart, so that he could bring his people forth on a black backdrop with a mighty victory. And I believe when God brings the victory in this time, it's not going to be a casual, it's going to be dramatic. God likes drama. He's going to do things dramatic. He's going to manifest to the enemy. When he takes the enemy down, it's going to be dramatic. When he takes his people up, it's going to be dramatic. Everything God does is going to be dramatic. And he's setting the stage right now. It's God himself at work to will and do of his own good pleasure. And he is unmoved. He laughs at the nations when they think they got it. When these smart alecks think they've got it all controlled, he takes away their breath. They turn to dust and they're in hell. They have nothing. They have no power whatsoever. And the Lord has given us the opportunity to call on him, to see things from his perspective, to let us be up where we can walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, be led by the Holy Spirit of God in everything we do. We've got to come into that place, because otherwise we are going to be shaken to and fro like a drunken man. But we need to be in a place where we are the stable force. We're a light in the dark place. We're a city set on a hill that can't be hidden. We are the salt of the earth that has not lost its savor, because the salt that loses its savor is only good for one thing, to be cast out and trodden under the feet of men. And we need to be, we're not political. We've got to stay out of politics. We need to be where we're looking at God and his eternal kingdom and what he's up to. Because I tell you what, God is up to something. This is his dramatic hour. This is the hour when he's going to bust the whole, when things are at their darkest place. It says that you look at that whole thing. When judgment is turned away backward, it says in Isaiah 59, and judgment standeth afar off. Truth is fallen in the street. Equity cannot enter. Yea, truth fails, and he that departs from evil makes himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, displeased him that there was no judgment. He saw that there was no man, wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him. His righteousness sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and helmet of salvation upon his head, garments of vengeance for clothing, was clad with zeal as a cloak. According shall he repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, and to the islands he will repay recompense. And so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, his glory from the rising of the sun. But when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord God will lift up a standard against him. And then he says, arise and shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee. His glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. This is the time of where God is getting ready to bear his holy arm before the nations. I believe it's the fulfillment of that word in Isaiah 64. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence, as when a burning fire, as when a melting fire burneth, causing the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, and that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things, thou camest down, and the mountains flowed down at thy presence. We're dealing with the Almighty God, and the Almighty God is not intimidated by what men are doing, and he's absolutely working out a dramatic, dramatic end for this thing. And let's enter in by faith, and we'll be part of it.
That was awesome. I do enjoy different perspectives, Michael. that was an awesome perspective. Because I really see where, you know, we're so, you know, we want to see the coming of the Lord. We want to see the signs of the times and stuff like that. And we end up, we do watch the news and get on the internet and see what's going on, and we see the darkness that is coming, and we see the craziness that's happening and stuff like that. But that's a good point. It can bring fear, and it's a distraction, and we've got to stand on the promise and not get pulled into the giants in the land, we've got a good foundation, knowing God is in control, but we've got to really get to that point where we are being led by the Spirit, and that we are standing in that bold faith. And right now, we look at the apostate system, and we think that, you know, the answer prayers we're getting, or the faith walk we're on, or the healings we've seen and all that is that we're walking in this big thing, which it is, but it's really just baby steps. I mean, these are just baby steps as far as just preparing us to keep our eyes on the Lord, seeing the power of prayer, seeing the power of our authority, and working that boldness in us, But sometimes it's just so easily to get distracted by what we see in the natural, which is so true, Michael. It's just we get, if we're led by what we see in the natural. And I see in a lot of cases that's what gets me into gets me into sin, gets me into, you know, when I'm led by what I see others that are proclaiming to be Christians or, you know, that, I tend to get into judgment, or if I see what's going on in the news, it just can get you a little irritated or angry or whatever it is, and we really can't do that. So that's being led of what we see in the natural realm. And, you know, he's trying to train us to walk in the Spirit, to be led of him, to, you know, hear of him. And, you know, but there's a lot of distractions around us, you know, things we're watching, things we're seeing, things we're hearing, and, getting busy or whatever it is. And you know, we may spend way too much time on the internet seeing what's coming or what, you know, we're just, you know, we're kind of waiting for this thing to happen. And, you know, we're just seeing what's going on in the world and we want to see this whole thing come together. But, you know, we should probably be in the Word more than we're in the, you know, on the internet or on our face before God, just, you know, crying out to him and, you know, to hear his voice, to be led of him, to, you know, to be used of him and that. So, but yeah, that was a great perspective there, Michael. So I don't know, does anybody else have any comments on what Michael just shared?
Tim, can I say one more thing first?
Yeah.
I just want to say, you know, when Jesus was walking to the cross, carrying the cross, and there was a woman weeping, he turned to the woman and said, "Woman, weep not for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children, for the day shall come when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, the wombs that never bear, the paps that never gave suck. For if they've done these things in a green tree, what shall be done in a dry?'" Now, the old days that we see in the history of the Scripture, those were green tree compared to what we're coming into now. So it's so imperative. If the children of Israel, a whole generation, perished in the wilderness, because they were looking at things with their natural eyes and they didn't enter the land because of unbelief. It's so critical that we get the lesson, as it says in 1 Corinthians 10, these things were for our examples upon whom the ends of the earth are come, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they lusted, neither be idolaters as some of them were. I won't go through the whole thing. But anyway, the point being, that was our example. What happened to them was for our example. And it's so critical right now that we learn this lesson. We see they could not enter into the land because of unbelief. And it says, take heed lest there be in any of you, it says in Hebrews 3, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any one of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. So this is so critical. And you think of these guys back then bringing an evil report. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have cell phones or smartphones or whatever they got nowadays. And we've got all this stuff barraging us everywhere, and all of it is natural testimony of unbelief. It's all of it natural things that we see and hear with our natural mind and ears, and it's such a barrage. We've got to be even more careful than they ever were, because there's going to be a great falling away at this hour. And we got to be the people that are overcoming, because we're in that still, we're hearing the still small voice. We're in that quiet place with the Lord. We're in the Word, and we're being very careful what we see with our eyes and hear with our ears and what we speak with our mouth.
Amen, Michael. Where'd you go, Tim?
I guess I had my mute on. So I guess the thing is how do we get to that place of just, you know, where we can just stand in bold faith and not be distracted? Is really, we got to get closed off to the world. We got to get closed off to, you know, just our lusts, getting closed off to the things that distract us, you know, our stumbling blocks, stuff like that. And I just press into the Lord as far as, you know, to, you know, because he's working in all of us, but it's just getting to that place where we've got to get the distractions out of our lives, and you know, get to a place where we're one with the Lord. We've got Yeah, I was just reading something this morning as far as, you know, just being betrothed, being true, you know, to the Lord, and getting ready for that marriage feast, you know, being pure virgins before Him, and not being defiled to man, and not taking in all these seeds of unbelief from the internet and the news and all that, that we need to be betrothed to one husband, and that's Jesus. So that's Father, we just ask right now. We just see, Lord, where we can get the seeds of the world coming in, the unbelief of the world, the fear of the world, the doubt of man, being clothed in what the world is saying. And Lord, help us to get set free of that, Lord. I just see where, you know, we're excited about your coming, and we're trying to see it in the media, we're trying to see it in the world, what's going on, and the enemy can use that to plant seeds of fear and unbelief, Lord. So Father, we just repent of, you know, just bringing that, you know, before you, Lord, and seeking that out, and spending, you know, more time on that than, you know, than seeking you out, Lord. And Father, we just want to stand in bold faith. We just you said to, you know, labor to enter in, Lord, and teach us to enter in, Lord. Teach us to, you know, stand bold in that faith, Lord, and help us to, you know, just have the boldness and to call out our mountain, to call out the land, and to bring forth the good report. And Lord, you've given us so many testimonies of the great men that have overcome and the darkest hours, and we just ask, Lord, that you just work in us, Lord, that we want to walk pleasing before you. We want to be overcomers, and Lord, we just thank you for just working in us for that, Lord, for your good pleasure, Lord, to overcome this flesh, overcome this world, overcome the deception and the deceiving that's in the world, and to stand bold in faith. And we just thank you for just putting that boldness in us, putting that faith in us, and helping us to labor into that rest. And we just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, anybody have a comment?
Tim?
I thought. Yes, Gail.
Yeah. I spend probably as much time as anyone on the internet. Confession here. But I was thinking, the draw is, I mean, when I read articles and I look at pictures and videos, I'm transfixed because it's in the natural that I want to experience this. And if I were to even... It's not like spending your time with it, but it's how you do you want to see it through God's eyes, or do you want to see it in the natural? And if I could spend, I think if we see that it's how we want to see what we're reading about or understand it is what's important. You know, if we're drawn. If the emphasis is on seeing it in the natural, it's a real waste of time. I mean, it's not doing you any good, and it's not furthering recognizing truth. You know, you're not making an effort to see it through God's eyes, which can be done. You can do that with anything you experience. Is that muddled or hairily?
No.
Huh?
No, I see, because I try to see And that's what I'm learning to do, is to see everything as far as from God's perspective, or see God in everything, knowing that my walk, going to Lowe's the other day and meeting those people was all the Lord. And, you know, he opened those doors, and I just, start seeing him in everything. So, yeah, you can, see the Lord in that. But if it's, I think what Michael's saying is that you got to be careful if it's bringing fear because I remember the first time I saw a video, with the ISIS beheading some Christians. When I saw that, I mean, these guys had peace, and I just couldn't even watch the video. It just kind of just really, there was a spirit behind it as far as that, and I just had to shut the thing off. I just couldn't, it was like, nah, that's enough. And, I don't need to see, any of that, as far as that. So, so I think we just got to be, don't get sidetracked, and we have to filter what we're taking in. So as far as that, so it doesn't. Yes, Michael.
One comment about that whole thing. I just want to say that I think it's like this was a. We all heard this story before. It happened to a missionary friend of mine at early days, about 1970. This happened to him. Where I went to an Indian reservation. And the man had a really promising young convert, came to the Lord really earnestly. And he came back a year later to the same place, and he said, "How are you doing, young brother?" And he said, "It's like I have two dogs fighting in my heart, a white dog and a black dog." He said, "Well, which one wins?" He says, "The one I feed the most." And I can guarantee you it's very critical that we do a pie chart on our time and on our resources. You know what a pie chart is? You take the whole, a round circle, and say, how much time is going for eating, how much time is going for work, how much time, and find out how much pie God is actually getting. And you can't, the internet is God's time. I mean, it's really, I'm talking in the Word and before the Lord in prayer and in true fellowship with brothers and sisters, and just find out and make sure that God's getting the pie. Because we by nature, it's the hardest thing in the world is to learn to wait before God and to learn to just take time with God, to learn to just still our souls and our spirits and our minds and just enter into that place, that abiding place. That's a difficult thing. And we just got to make sure that God's getting the majority of the pie in our time and our resource and our affection.
Yeah, that's a real good point, because, and that's another fight there is, because there's so many distractions around us. As far as that, and at least with me, I can get distracted very easily, with email or internet or whatever it is, and I've just had to train myself that I've got to put the Lord first. I got to shut all that stuff off, and if I get a sometimes I'm in the Word, and even if I get a text, I'll hear my text go off, and I'm like, man, I can't get distracted. I mean, the Lord's showing me something here. I can't. And the enemy uses that sometimes. All of a sudden you get a text and it stirs you, or, you need to make a call or react to it. And then next thing you know that, you're in awesome fellowship with the Lord. And then all of a sudden that text came in and you're, down another trail and you're totally deceived, distracted. So, but that's, that's a good point, is we just got to put him first in everything, and his ministry, just being led of him to administer to others, and not being in dead works or anything like that. Not our works, but, what he wants us, sometimes, we want it so bad that we're out there trying to make things happen or trying to evangelize, and he's not in it. And we just have to get to the point where we'd be better off just pressing in, listening to him and being guided of him, because he may want us somewhere totally different, and we're, we're distracted. So, all right, anybody else have a thought?
Well, I'm not somebody else, but could I say something?
Yeah.
It's Gail again. If we're, no matter what we're experiencing, if we're wanting the Holy Spirit to show us the truth in that experience, you're always putting God first, no matter what you're involved in. I mean, you can never, I mean, if you can do that, you're never distracted because you're always looking, wishing to see it through God's eyes, you know, whatever's going on. You're only distracted if you choose to see it through your natural eyes. That's how I'm seeing it.
Right. No, I can. Yeah, I see. Yeah, I do see what you're saying as far as that. So, I guess you have to, you know, definitely get a balance there. Because, I mean, years
well,
ago. Go ahead.
Can I ask a question here? Gail. This is Michael, and. I'm not real sure I understand what you're saying is, maybe you can explain that a little bit better, because when I look at the internet and I look at the news, it's not a thing going through my mind about God. It's all that junk going into my spirit, that I see. And there's nothing godlike about it as far as I'm concerned. And I, for myself, would be better served putting my time and effort in the Word and praying and fellowship, just like Michael was talking about. Now, that's where I am. But I cannot see how all that murder and hate and vitriolic talk that's going on the internet and also on TV as far as the news goes builds my spirit up. In fact, it does just the opposite to me. So I guess I'm misunderstanding how you're seeing this. Maybe you can expound on that a little bit.
Okay. We choose to see anything through God's eyes. We're not being distracted by the world, no matter what's going on, right? Now, I personally can't watch a whole lot of garbage on the internet. I mean, you know, certainly blood is not my interest. now, that's because it overpowers me. I'm not able to maintain wishing to see that as part of God's plan. It's just, I'm seeing it too much through the natural, and I can't see God behind it, you know. If I could, it would be quite awesome, and I would probably understand that it's part of his plan to save the world, you know. And that's inspiring. I mean, it's inspiring. Is that helping?
So, well, no, not really, because are you watching the news that I'm watching? Because the news that I'm watching is not filled with anything but hate, killing, thievery, and all of that stuff, and lies, and all of that stuff. And when that comes through the tube to me, I just get a feeling of, that spirit, like we're talking about, jumps on me, and I have to get off of it and pray, you know, and get it off. That's all I was saying. So maybe you're watching a different. Yeah. Maybe you're watching the good news, which is good.
Well, I'm telling you that I cannot watch very much of that at all because I get drawn my natural experience of it in the natural takes over, and I can't hang on to wishing to see this through God's eyes. You know, it's too bloody, you know, so I can't watch it. And I don't want to hear everybody's take and opinion of all the things that are going on, you know, I want God's viewpoint of what's going on. So
you're saying is you're watching the stuff that you're watching, you're trying to see God's viewpoint. You're not getting distracted with all the you know, the head talk, you know, as far as that. You're trying to see what God is doing behind what you're watching is what you're saying, correct?
I started out saying that I wish I could do that a whole lot more, and this is
okay.
The problem. The problem is that it's too earthly, you know, and I don't want to live there. I'm not ready to see all of this, you know, through God's eyes. I'm not strong enough to do that.
Amen.
Yeah. So I need that which inspires me, and that's why I'm on the conference tonight. I get more out of that than watching beheadings, for sure. So, I don't know. I guess I'm still not clear.
No, I think you're clear. I mean, what I'm getting out of it, I've got a different perspective because I don't watch the news. I kind of will oversee something or somebody will tell me something or that, but I really just stay away from it as much as possible because I see it as a distraction. But how I can relate to what you're saying is there's times where I'm heading out and maybe I'm heading up to the store or something like that, and I might be on a quest, I might be in works, I might have a whatever it is, and I go up to the store and I get what I need to get, and I get back home, and the whole 2 hours or whatever it was, God wasn't in any of it. It was just all me, my perspective, you know, whatever. Yeah. But then there's times where I get, like, I'm heading out, and I'll get prayed up, and I'll just ask the Lord, and I'll do the same type of thing. I'll go out, and I'll just be praying in the Spirit on my way, and then I'll go in the store, and I'll see somebody, and I'll just start praying for them, and the whole time I'm there is God. Okay, just like I'm up there and I see somebody in a wheelchair and I'm just, you know, just praying. You know, I'm just doing it in my head. I'm just praying for him and, you know, praying for the situations or stuff he puts on my heart. And you know, I'm really seeing that that's probably only 10 or 20% of, you know, the time. Most of the time, I mean, 80% I'm into my own, you know, whatever it is. And the Lord isn't in it. And it could be with internet, it could be with work, it could be with anything like that. We could either see the Lord in it and be praying and believing and, you know, standing on the promises and you know, and speaking the good report, or we could just be totally, you know, the Lord isn't out of it. We pray in the morning, we head out, and, you know, the Lord isn't part of it the rest of the day. And, you know, we're just totally distracted. But I'm really trying to get to that point where the Lord is the focus and everything, where, you know, when, you know, as far as that. And it's just, it isn't just a, you know, get in the car, pray, and, you know, thank you, Lord, for your protection and going, and then, you know, not talking to the Lord the rest of the day. But, you know, just fellowshipping with him throughout the day and trying to see things in his perspective and be led of the Spirit, you know, type thing. So that's how I'm, not exactly what you're saying, Gail, but that's how I'm trying to see it, getting to a point where, you know, everything we're seeing from God's perspective. So when we look at somebody, we don't see them in the flesh. We see them as a vessel that in bondage, that, you know, needs Jesus. And we pray for that person. We just don't see that person that, you know, has got some issues and, you know, whatever it is. We just see him as a vessel that, man, they're bound up by the enemy, and Lord, you know, we pray for their salvation and Lord help them to get set free from that bondage, you know. So that's kind of my take on the matter. I don't know if that muddied the water or helped. I don't know. What do you think, Michael?
Well, yeah, I can see Gail's perspective too. But that I was just having a hard time understanding just for myself what she was trying to get across. And I believe I understand now. Yeah, Gail, as long as we keep our eyes focused on Jesus 100% of the time, you know, like talking about last night or Tuesday night, we have to be in prayer and renewing our mind with the Word of God fully, running after God with all of our heart. And for me, it's hard for me to do that when I'm looking at the world, because the world is messed up. I ain't never in my whole life seen a world that's been so messed up as it is right now. But the reason it's messed up is because God's fixing to do something here. And I praise God for it. And like he's talking about, Gail, if we can see God in it, that's great, man. That's awesome. And we can step back. I can step back and see what God's doing. I see that Obama is God's man for the hour, because judgment's on its way and he's bringing it at a fast pace. Mm. And I praise God for that. So, yep, I can see that when I can step back. Just when I'm looking at it at the time, I can't, I can't focus. But anyway, yeah, that's okay.
Well, I can't either, and that's why I said I can't do much of that. You know, when I look at Obama and I go, oh, you know, I can't stand him, and I have criticism, and, you know, I'm totally in the flesh, you know, criticizing and condemning and being afraid and all of those things, you know. So that I can't – I'm saying if – I can do it sometimes, you know, try to see it, you know, through God's eyes, but it's just so it's such a low level of existence, you know, that it's,
well, you know,
it's not good to spend time looking at it. That's all I can say.
Yeah, well, you know, you can go in the Old Testament and see what's happening the same here. You can go in there and look at those stories, and those stories in the Old Testament are a type and a shadow of what's happened today. And, I mean, you can just step back and see it. My goodness. And just like Michael Montana was talking about earlier, we're going to step back and we're going to believe God. We're going to stay in there. We're going to keep our eyes focused on him. And we're going to see 185,000 just zapped right out of here, those enemies of ours. And that's where it's going to happen. God's going to do some mighty, mighty wondrous works here in the days ahead. And that's what we need to focus on, is the Lord. Okay, go ahead, Michael.
I'll just say one thing, that during the time of David, when he stood with Goliath, there was a whole army of men trembling at the same time that he stood forth. And when Jonathan and his armor bearers stood forth, there was a whole army trembling before the enemy. And at the time that Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego stood, there were a whole bunch of people that were bowing to the statue. And it's right now, the proof is in the pudding. Whether we're walking in the faith of Christ, whether we're in victory in our own lives, whether we're worshiping and praising God, whether we're singing in hope, or whether we're trembling, it's all going to be manifest. What's really there is coming out, and it's not the multitude that's going to overcome. So we've got to really be careful and guard our hearts. We watch what we think, what we look at, what we listen to, and critical that we are focused and speaking the words of God, listening to the things of God, dwelling on things above, being so focused, because the ones that can hear what God is saying in this hour are the victorious ones, and not many people are hearing. Not many people are seeing what God is saying. And right now, God is speaking, but he's speaking in a still, small voice. And it's only those that will get still enough to truly listen and focus and shut everything else out. I think the best thing that could happen to the whole computer system is an EMP myself. But I think we'd all of us need to get back to the basics of just that quiet place before the Lord, the secret place of the Most High.
Amen. You know, we all lived before the cell phone, too, didn't we, Michael?
So now, we didn't have... I don't know how old you think we are here.
Come on, man.
But, Michael, I will say that when I was young, we did ring them. You know, they turned that little ringer thing on the side, you know, and there would be 15 people. You could hear the neighbor's phone calls, too. There were 15 people going on the same line, and we'd ring the little ringer thing and charge up the phone now.
Yeah. Okay. I don't go back that far, Michael.
Awesome. All right. Does anybody have any last comments before we close out tonight? Anything that's on their heart? Any thoughts over what was said tonight?
I got something I'd like to say.
Okay, Andrew.
I think we got to remember who we are. You know, we have to remember who we are and not just go about our lives watching everything. But as long as we remember who we are, and there's a verse attached to this. It's in 1 Corinthians 12:13. For in one spirit also were we all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether bond or free, we were all made to drink of one spirit. And we really have to remember what spirit we have to drink of, and what kind of life we're supposed to have, and what kind of person we are. We were given a person to be, and we have to shine for that person. You know, for me, the first time I heard that song, This Little Light of Mine, I Should let it Shine, you know, is when I was in my late 20s. I had to listen to that with the 8-year-olds and sing it at the same time, because we didn't have that song in the church I went to. And we have to let this light shine and remember who we are. We're baptized into one body. We are immersed into that body. And we drink of this, the one spirit. And that one spirit is, well, that light has seven lights and seven spirits there. And
hey.
Of course, that's about it.
Awesome. Got to remember who we are in Christ. So, got to put Him first and get sanctified from the world. So, Father, we just thank You for another awesome night. We just ask, Lord, that You just put that bold faith in us, Lord. And, Lord, just continue to point out the stumbling blocks, you know, just anything that's before us that is the distractions in our life, the things that we're making more important than You, the things we spend more time on than with You, and Lord, help us all to, you know, just put You first in all things, and to just to spend more time with You and seeking You out, Lord. And Lord, we just know as we grow, you know, in the faith and in the promises, and that we abide in the rest, Lord. And we just thank You for just giving us the willingness to fight for that, Lord, and to abide in You and to overcome these things that You're pointing out that is unpleasing to You, Lord. And Lord, we just thank You for just opening our spiritual eyes. And Lord, we want to see in the Spirit, Lord. We don't want to be led by our carnal sight. We want to be led by Your Spirit, Lord. We want to hear that small voice. We want to see everything in the Spirit. And Lord, just train us up, Lord, to be to see in the Spirit. And we just thank You for that, Lord. Just bless everybody's week this week, and just help them to just flow in the gifts that You've given them. And we just thank You for just working in all of us, Lord. Just bless everyone in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, everybody. It was another awesome night. Thank you, Michael Montana, for an awesome...
God bless you, Tim.
...word there. Bless you, man. And Gail, thank you for sharing.
Amen.
And we'll just see you all next Tuesday.